20 past 7, Haiti's exiled former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide has accused the United States of forcing him out of office. The White House says that's absurd. In Haiti itself, everyone's waiting to find out what's going to emerge from the current power vacuum. Our correspondent Stephen Gibbs is there.
Well, here in Port-au-Prince, the armed rebels that overthrew President Aristide are very much in evidence. They're in confident mood, talking about building a new Haiti. They say it will be more democratic. I've just been speaking to one of the rebels about this. I asked Paul Arcelin how he could claim to support democracy, having just overthrown this country's first and only democratically elected leader.
My people never gave to Aristide this legitimacy after those fraudulent elections. Aristide was not elected. We call him always a de facto government. You gave him that legitimacy. We didn't give it to him.
Okay.
That's why we are fighting.
Okay, but okay.
Against dictatorship, he put a dictatorship.
But let's look at the situation now. Mr. Aristide is gone, and he was removed by an armed rebellion. I hope you agree with that.
So Where are we proud of it?
You're proud of it?
Naturally. You don't see hundreds of thousands of people in the street greeting freedom, freedom. Today there are more than 500,000 people in the street of Port-au-Prince greeting us like heroes.
But do you think it's good for democracy? How do we move forward? How does Haiti become more democratic? Because it's changing its leader through armed rebellion. And what happens now?
What happens now? We are going to respect the constitution, the Haitian constitution. We are going to try to put law and order because we have the mandate of the Democratic Platform on all the political parties today to put law and order in this country. We are going to do it.
And what will the armed men who got rid of Aristide, what part will they be playing in that new government?
It is a democratic government, I think, that will be in place. What the democratic government want to give us.
Is the army coming back?
Definitely. This country needs an army.
Was that Aristide's mistake that he got rid of the army?
He's a crazy guy. He wanted to steal, kill, because if we had an army, no army will accept the violation of our constitution.
Well, that was Paul Arcelin, a rebel soldier. And later today, we expect some answers, an announcement on who might be Haiti's new prime minister and whether the army will be reinstalled. From Port-au-Prince, now back to the studio in London.
The Americans are facing demands for an inquiry into claims by the former Haitian leader Jean-Bertrand Aristide that US pressure forced him to go into exile. The Bush administration has denied the allegations. It says Mr. Aristide, who's now in the Central African Republic, left of his own accord.
Ira Kurtzbaum is a Miami-based lawyer.
I'm saying that the United States government, and really the United States intelligence services, armed, organized, and plotted the coup against the president, the democratically elected president of the government of Haiti, yes.
The Bush administration is very sensitive about the suggestion that it might topple a democratically elected leader, so there was a swift reaction to that from the Secretary of State Colin Powell, who called it absurd, and from the president's spokesman Scott McClellan.
Conspiracy theories like that do nothing to help the Haitian people realize the future that they aspire to. We took steps to protect Mr. Aristide. We took steps to protect his family as they departed Haiti. It was Mr. Aristide's decision to resign, and he spelled out his reasons why.
The White House wants to focus now on efforts to organize what one official described as a Council of Elders, a tripartite commission made up of the opposition forces, the remains of President Aristide's government, and the international community. America will enforce order while that political effort is given time to work, but the commitment of U.S. forces is going to be strictly limited, probably no more than a few thousand troops. America is assuming its perennial role of playmaker in Haitian affairs, but it's a role assumed reluctantly by this White House. Once order is restored, the president wants his troops home and his diplomats concentrating on other issues.
Justin Webb reporting from Washington. BBC News with Dee Sebastian. The United States says it'll deploy more troops to Haiti to deal with the security crisis there, but has emphasized that the problem is one for the American continent as a whole. US officials hope to meet eminent Haitians to discuss immediate needs, but they've expressed reservations about dealing with some rebel leaders who they say have been implicated in civil rights abuses. The now exiled former president of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, has said that he was forced to leave his country at the weekend. In interviews with American television and news agencies, he said he'd been the victim of a coup d'état, but he repeatedly refused to answer direct questions about whether he'd been kidnapped.
So what future now for Haiti? The immediate challenge is restoring law and order, and then comes perhaps the more difficult task of building a stable political future. The United States says it's ready to provide assistance, both military and diplomatic. Jean-Bertrand Aristide is out of the picture. But what role will there be for the rebels who forced him to step down? This in a country where political stability is a rare commodity indeed. We're joined now from Baltimore by Lawrence Pezzullo from the Haiti Democracy Project. Haiti and democracy, two words which don't always go hand in hand. Is this the time, do you think?
I think so. I think the Haitian people have had enough experience with something short of democracy and have had a lot of experience looking at the means to put governments together that might offer participation by the citizens. And I think the leadership level, certainly, that you see today is mature enough to at least put the form together. Whether or not they have the means to educate a people and contain it remains to be seen.
There is the argument, though, that says it is pretty hard to say you're bringing democracy when you're doing so with the power of a gun.
Well, that's true. I mean, it... The birth of a democracy is, gives it a hurdle to overcome. But on the other hand, it impresses on the people the need to do something rather than use the gun.
We all remember the feeling of hope and expectation when Jean-Bertrand Aristide came to power in Haiti. Why should this time be any different? After all, if he couldn't do it, who will?
Well, he didn't do it because he violated his own constitution and divided the people something fierce. It's a sad reality that a man with the popular appeal of a Jean-Bertrand Aristide was not committed to lead in a system in which you negotiate and participate with others and allow an opposition to play at least a partial role.
Isn't it also a sad reality, though, that there have been quite a few false dawns in Haiti?
I'm sorry, what?
Isn't it also the reality that there have been quite a few false dawns in Haiti?
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, they've had 200 years of sad government, very sad. But as I say, the experience factor is a real one here. The political opposition today is a lot more sophisticated than one would expect. The real question is whether or not, as I said before, they can get a population which has not had much of an experience of participating in government to really believe that it can be done and to play a role which is a positive role.
Okay, Lawrence Pezzullo, many thanks. Lawrence Pezzullo from the Haiti Democracy Project in Baltimore.
Well, Guy Philippe has been a key figure in the movement to oust Mr. Aristide. His name, along with others who've played a major role, such as Louis Jodel Chamblain, are familiar ones to Haiti watchers, but not necessarily to the rest of the world. So who are these men, and what do we know about their past? Reed Brody of Human Rights Watch in New York told me first about Guy Philippe.
He was a member of the Haitian army before it was dissolved by President Aristide, and he received special training in Ecuador, reportedly from U.S. Special Forces. When he came back to Haiti under President Aristide, he was a police chief before he fled, and Haitian authorities accused him of plotting a coup together with other police chiefs against then-President Préval. And since that time, the Haitian government has accused him of being behind several other attacks on the Haitian Police Academy and on the National Police, particularly in 2001.
So clearly deeply involved in the recent politics of Haiti, but what do we know then about his human rights record, if you like?
Well, Guy Philippe himself, we don't have as much information other, as I said, than attacks on police facilities, alleged participation in coup activities. It's more some of the other leaders of the rebellion who have been involved in death squad activities in the past.
Jodel Louis Chamblain's name sometimes comes up. What do we know about him?
Well, for instance, Chamblain was the main leader or the main operative leader of a death squad or a paramilitary group known as the Revolutionary Front for Haitian Advancement and Progress, known as FRAP, which was formed by the military authorities during the de facto rule in Haiti after Aristide was ousted for the first time. And in that period of 3 years, FRAP terrorized the Haitian population. They were responsible for hundreds, probably thousands, of assassinations, some very notable massacres. Louis Jodel Chamblain himself, according to one CIA memo, he was plotting the killing, which later took place, of Aristide's Minister of Justice, Guy Mallory. He was also convicted in absentia of the assassination of a leading pro-democracy activist in Haiti, Antoine Ismarie. And he was named, actually, by Toto Constant, another FRAP leader, who is now living in Queens, as the chief operative of FRAP.
So obviously a long record and a fairly unpleasant one by the sounds of it. And the American government has already suggested that it wouldn't necessarily be happy for some of these people to be involved in any future government. But what about President Aristide, former President Aristide's human rights record? He's left the country now, but some people have raised questions about his record.
Well, certainly President Aristide also has a human rights record. During his tenure, there were police and government thugs who broke up opposition meetings. As we've seen just in the last week, a lot of his security, or a lot of the security in Haiti was by government-linked political gangs that increasingly used violence to repress demonstrations, to intimidate the press, to intimidate opponents. So Aristide also has human rights concerns.
Reed Brody of Human Rights Watch in New York.
The United States says it will use American troops to deal with the immediate security crisis in Haiti, but has emphasized the problem is one for the American continent, not for Washington alone. The U.S. Defense Secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, said that up to 2,000 American troops could be deployed in Haiti, but they would only be a fraction of an eventual United Nations peacekeeping force. American officials said they wanted to meet a council of eminent Haitians to try to deal with immediate needs. From Washington, here's Branwyn Jeffries.
Rebels have poured into the Haitian capital since President Aristide's departure. Some of their leaders are likely to be invited to form a commission that will choose an interim governing council. The council would then oversee the preparations for democratic elections, while a UN-backed force provides stable conditions. But human rights organizations say past mistakes may be repeated. Haiti's politics have been marred by the involvement of armed gangs. Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch say some of the rebel leaders have been involved in the use of extreme violence and should be brought before the courts. They warn that a failure to disarm paramilitary groups has caused an ongoing cycle of violence.
The now-exiled former president of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, has said he was forced to leave his country at the weekend. In interviews with American television and news agencies, he said he'd been the victim of a coup d'état. He said he'd signed documents relinquishing power because of fears that violence would erupt in Haiti if he did not comply with the demands of what he called American security agents. U.S. officials say Mr. Aristide left Haiti voluntarily.
GMT. This is the BBC World Service, the world today.
So Jean-Bertrand Aristide is in exile in the Central African Republic. He says he's the victim of a coup d'etat, forced to give up the presidency of Haiti, and he lays the blame squarely on the United States. Washington denies his claim. Meanwhile, forces loyal to the rebel leader, Guy Philippe, have moved into the capital, Port-au-Prince. I spoke to our correspondent Stephen Gibbs, who's in Port-au-Prince, and asked him what the mood in the city was like overnight.
Well, it's pretty quiet. It's probably the quietest night we've had here in the capital for several weeks. Very little gunfire to be heard. very little people, it seems, on the streets, and no activity really at all. But that may well be because power has shifted pretty dramatically here during the day, and it's now in the control of these rebel forces that came into the capital, and they seem to be the ones that are keeping the order. It doesn't seem to be the international troops or those loyal gangs to the ex-president Aristide that until very recently were roaming the streets here.
So you say that it's the rebel forces keeping order. What then are the US forces and French forces and so on doing?
Well, the two sides, although they both say that they're, or certainly the rebels say they're prepared to cooperate with the international troops, they haven't confronted each other at all. The international troops that are here are at the airport, and they're pretty much staying there. They're securing the airport, supposedly to prepare it for the arrival of more troops. We were expecting those today, but they haven't arrived yet. But almost all the troops are still at the airport.
Now, throughout the day, there were these persistent stories about President Aristide having been forced out of office, rumours which the White House denied. And in the last few hours, President Aristide himself has been interviewed, and he's repeated those claims. Is there much comment or much more information on that there?
Well, there was quite a lot of comment about this in the hours after Aristide left, and that's what's interesting, is what the president or the ex-president in the Central African Republic is saying does tally with some of the rumours that were coming out here, really in those few hours after he left in the private jet. The key one was that someone said that they saw him being marched up the steps in the airport by what looks like US Marines, and they pretty much shut the door on him, and he didn't appear to want to go. These are just rumours, but they are interesting rumours.
And ones that it's not going to be particularly easy to substantiate. What then do you think is likely to happen in the days to come? Can the rebel leaders, if you like, keep a lid on it, keep things under control?
I think they've got an enormous momentum behind them. There seems to be no question there are a lot of Haitians here that believe that things are going to get a lot better if they rally behind this new group that they're seeing on the streets. And they do seem a far more efficient and modern group than certainly I imagined when I first saw them. They're properly armed and with modern weapons. They have sort of defensive armour. And they do seem to be very, very confident. They've had a huge boost by being able to take over this country so quickly, and they seem to be wanting to take control. But, of course, the political side here is that the question is whether the opposition politicians will be happy giving up much power to the military, and of course the international community won't be at all happy if the rebels look like they're going to have too much of a say in the future of Haiti.
Stephen Gibbs in Haiti.
Well, claims that the United States may have done more than just exert diplomatic pressure on Jean-Bertrand Aristide come as no surprise to those who've long been critical of the Bush administration's policy in the region. Among them, Jeffrey Sachs, the director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. He's described the crisis in Haiti as another case of brazen U.S. manipulation of a small, impoverished country. I asked him to explain.
Everything that we've heard is extraordinarily problematic. It seems very much that Aristide was forced from power with threats of violence, with the U.S. complicit in that. Rather than defending a democratically elected president, it seems that the U.S. basically forced him out. And Aristide himself is calling this a modern kidnapping.
It's hard to know who to believe after all. At the moment, it is still very much one man's word against that of an administration.
I think that that's not right, actually, because the administration clearly did not make any effort whatsoever to carry through an agreement that the democratic leaders of the Caribbean had agreed to, that Aristide had agreed to, and that the opposition had not. And rather than pressing the opposition to abide by these rules and to protect democracy, it seems very clear that at a minimum, even according to the U.S. story, they told the president, we will not protect you, your lives are in peril, you have to leave.
America, though, was not alone in calling for a change at the top. After all, France was the first country to say President Aristide should step down.
Absolutely unjustified as well. But the U.S. was the orchestrator of a three-year strangulation of the economy of this country. It seems that somehow mysteriously the rebels came to town with military equipment that was U.S. Army equipment brought into the Dominican Republic last year, and with some lame statements by U.S. officials that perhaps the Dominican Republic Army sold this equipment to the rebels. It's all fingerprints everywhere and real questions that need to be answered by the United States.
Isn't it, though, a little bit easy to blame the big bad American wolf? Shouldn't those who were in power share some of the blame for the situation Haiti is in?
From an economist's point of view, that is my own look at what was happening. Here was the poorest country in the Americas, one of the poorest countries in the world, deliberately being strangled by a freeze of all assistance put on by the United States during the last 3 years. And I have been saying for that whole period that not only was this a grotesque policy in terms of the suffering that it caused, but that it was sure to lead to an absolute explosion. And sure enough, of course, the U.S. froze all assistance. The country went into a balance of payments crisis. The currency collapsed. Inflation soared. Living standards plummeted. And eventually, people went out on the streets. Since the day the Bush administration came in, they never tried to deal with the Aristide government for one moment. They just squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and ended up leading to an utter collapse.
This is a country which is no stranger to political upheaval. Do you think there's anything to suggest that stability can return to Haiti?
The best chance for Haiti back in 2001 when both Bush and Aristide came in was for the United States to give support to, I think it's fair to say, the first popularly elected president in the history of the country. Instead, we brought him down. And then with the audacity of the U.S. government, we hear the president say, well, let's look forward. It's time for hope for this country. After having crushed hope for 3 years by not lifting a finger to address the dire economic crisis. So can there be stability if there's honesty first? And we're still waiting to understand what has happened just in the last couple of days. And if indeed it was a kidnapping of an elected president by the United States, then there is obviously a reckoning ahead.
Jeffrey Sachs, director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. His concerns are shared by one listener, Frank Kirk, who described himself as a Vietnam veteran. Surely you knew something fishy was going on, he says. I sincerely hope that you'll do the world a big favor and tell the world how the USA just deposed a democratically elected government. What a sad day for us all. Let us know what you think. World.today at bbc.co.uk. The text message number 44778620600.